All the satellite links are down. Must be those damn northern lights. Then he added, Sir. From the other side of the flight control center, Colonel Christopher could see the alarm on Sharman's face. She walked across the worn tile flooring toward him. Something wrong, Lieutenant? Sharman shook his head, his brows knit into a tight furrow. The GPS is down, ma'am. Christopher almost smiled, but she held herself in check. Then you'll just have to navigate without it. I guess I will, ma'am. Sharman clearly was not happy with that prospect. Christopher stepped away from the counter and the listening tech sergeant, motioning Sharman to follow her. Lowering her voice, she asked, Do I call you Eustace? And you don't have to be so formal. You can drop the ma'am business while we're on duty together. Just call me Colonel. Unless there's bigger brass around, of course. She remembered how some of the wiseasses at the academy used to call her Chrissy just to rile her. She had kept her temper under control, hidden until graduation day. That's when they found their shoes had been glued to the dorm ceiling. All of them. They had to attend the graduation ceremony in bedroom slippers and flip-flops and got reprimanded for being out of uniform. They never tumbled to the possibility that 5'4" Karen Christopher could reach the ceilings of their rooms while they slept. Lieutenant Sharman made an effort to smile. Thank you, Colonel. My name is John, without an H. My friends call me John.
All right, John. That's what I'll call you. We're not friends yet, but maybe we will be.
He did smile, faintly.
Thank you, Colonel.
Now don't sweat the GPS business. It's just a crutch anyway. You're a trained navigator. You can get us to our correct position out over the ocean without it, can't you?
Yes, Colonel. But I'd feel a lot better with the GPS to back me up.
Christopher said,
You'll do fine, John. This is just a milk run anyway. We run a racetrack pattern while the nerds play with their laser, so don't sweat it.
Thank you, Colonel. Sharman still looked unconvinced. Christopher nodded at him once, then turned and headed for the meteorology desk. Poor kid looks scared to death, she said to herself. Then a voice in her head warned, He's not a poor kid, and he's not your friend. He's supposed to be a navigator, and you're supposed to be his superior officer. Keep it that way. Her co-pilot, Major Obadiah Kaufman, was already at the weather desk, looking red-nosed and bleary-eyed. Either he had a late night, Christopher thought, or he's got some bug, which he'll pass on to the rest of us for sure.
No MetSat data, said Major Kaufman in lieu of a greeting. He was a round butterball of a man, not much taller than Christopher herself. She wondered how he passed his physicals. He looked so out of shape, and miserably unhappy. So would I be, she thought, if I got bounced out of the pilot's job for some stranger.
What do you mean, no MetSat data, Obi?
Kaufman's bloodshot eyes flared at her for use of his nickname, but he immediately clamped down on his resentment. The harried-looking female captain in charge of the meteorology desk confirmed from the other side of the counter.
The weather satellites went down a couple of hours ago, Colonel. We don't have anything for you except the local weather forecast from the base's Met instruments.
All the MetSats are down? Christopher asked. It was hard to believe.
The whole civilian satellite system is down, ma'am, said the captain.
She looked frightened, as if the system failure would be blamed on her.
What about our own MetSats? Are they down, too?
No, ma'am. The MilSats are operational, but the comm system's overloaded, swamped. Data requests from everybody all at once. They're running half an hour late, more.
Christopher